ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः
श्रीमते भक्ति वेदान्त सरस्वती देवे श्रेय शून्यवारी Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Bolo. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Shri Rama. It's a little high for the third part. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Do you know that third part? It's just that you need to go down a key or two or we can't hit it. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The key's too high. Because then the third part goes, wait, stop for a sec. If you start on the lower end, it goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know that part?
Yeah, I can sing, but I'm not sure if I can
do it. Okay, that's all right.
Yeah, I can sing.
And then back. Hare. Well, do you think it has to be in a lower key for us to hit that? Because once you get past that top C, it's too high.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
We do without the harmony.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Vrindarika, Vrindarika.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Yeah. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Shankar Hari Bo. Itai Gaura Premanande, Shri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki, Shri Hari Nam Mahamantra Ki, Shri Hari Nam Prabhu Ki, Gaura Premanande. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Nitai Gaura Hari Bo,
Hari Bo, Hari Bo.
Hare Krishna. How many of you know the Shish Upanishad? Shri Upanishad? You know it? Okay. Can we have copies?
Sure. Should I put that on the screen?
You got it for the screen?
Yes, we can put it.
Okay, put it on the screen. How long will it take?
3 minutes.
And that's how long it will take you to memorize this. It's only 18 verses, Shri Upanishad. Does anybody know any of the verses from it? So the first one is, it starts off, Om Purnamada Purnamidam, and it talks about how Krishna is the complete whole. Anybody know anything more about that verse? So this is special mathematics. How many of you study math? Okay, this is math you don't hear about so much, but whatever emanates from the complete whole is complete in itself. And even though so many complete units emanate from the complete whole, it remains the complete balance. What does that mean? What do you think? Yes?
Even if it gives away, it'll still be the same amount?
Yeah! I mean, that's kind of amazing, right? I mean, usually when you, yes?
It's unlimited.
I know, and I mean, we don't know much about unlimited things in this world, because usually if you have 100 pounds and you give away 50, how many do you have left?
50.
Not 100? But with this, even if you give away 50 or if you give away 100, how much do you have? That's what the verse means. So Krishna's like unlimited, so even though so many complete units emanate from him, and each unit that emanates from him is complete, it's still, he's still complete. What is your opinion? What do you think of that?
It's so many people can get the knowledge and then it doesn't run out.
I like the way you put things, because the fact is, you know, if you distribute it, then it they get complete knowledge and you still have complete knowledge, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So the verse says, you know, just repeat after me. We'll try to memorize the first verse before he even puts it on the screen. What do you think? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes. Yes. Om Purnam
Adah
Purnamidam.
Purnamidam.
Purnat.
Purnam.
Udachyate.
Udachyate.
Purnasya.
Purnasya.
Purnamadaya.
Purnamadaya.
Purnam.
Eva.
Vishishyate.
Vishishyate.
Who wants to try it? Just kidding. Oh, I'll say the whole first line. Om Purnamada Purnamidam.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam.
Purnat Purnam Udachyate.
Purnat Purnam Udachyate.
Purnasya Purnamadaya.
Purnasya Purnamadaya.
Purnameva Vishishyate.
Purnameva Vishishyate.
Om.
Om.
Purnam. Adak Purnamidam. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Purnasya Purnamadaya. Purnameva Vishishyate. What do you think Purnam means in this? Purnam. Without looking. Too late. Okay. So Om, why is it Om at the beginning? What does Om mean?
The complete whole.
Yeah, who's the complete whole?
Krishna.
So what does Om mean?
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna. It's a symbol, a mantra that means Krishna. And then Purnam. How come the word for word's not visible? It's cut off, you see. Oh, there it is. Can you all see that?
Yeah.
Just press the thing again.
Yeah, no. Press the highlight to go.
Yeah.
So, how are you going to... You have a clicker? How are we going to advance it? If we chant it all?
Just sit there.
Okay. So, shall we chant the verses together? What do you think? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is you're very interested in, and 1 means you'd like to just go to sleep right now instead. Between 1 and 10, what are you? Sachi's a 10? All right, Sachi, you're carrying us along here. Okay, let's try it. We'll chant it together. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bunjita Magrida Kasya Swidhanam Kurva neveha karmani jijivishetcha samsamaha evam twainan yate tosti karma lipyate nare asurya namate loka antena tamasavritaha Tamste kritya bhigacchanti ye ke cha mahano janaha ane jadikam manaso javiyo naina deva apnuvan purvanarshat tadhavato jnanat yeti tishtat Tashmina po matarishva dadati Tadejati tanaijati Tadure tadvantike Tadantarasya sarvasya Tadu sarvasyasya bhayataha Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani vanupashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijagupsate
Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaivad bhud vijanataha tatra ko mahakashoka ekadva manupashyataha saparyagat shukram akayam avranam ashnaviram shudham apapavidham Kavir manishi pariyabhu swayambhur yathat yat yatortan vyadada shasvati bhya samabhyaha. Everyone okay so far? Can you see it all right? Yeah. Antam tama bravishanti ye vidyam upasate tato puya evate tamo Ya uvidya yamrataha. Anyadeva hurvidyaya. Anyadahura vidyaya. Iti shushu madhiranam. Yenastad vichichakshire. Vidyamcha vidyamcha yas. Tadvedo bayam saha vidyayam ratyum tirtva vidyayam ratyum ashnute. Antam tama pravishanti ye sambhutim upasate tato puya ivate tamo ya usambhutram rataha. Anyadevahu sambhavad, anyadahura sambhavad, iti shushu madhiranam, yenastad vichichakshire. Sambhutim cha vinasham cha, yastad vedo bayam saha, Vinashenam ratum tirtva sambhutyam ratum ashnute. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pihitambukam tatvam pushana pavranu satyadharmaya drishtaye. Pushane karshe yama surya prajapatya vyuharashmin samuhatejo yate rupam kalyanatamam tate pashyami yosavasav purushanam. Do it over. Pushane karshe yama surya prajapatya vyuharashmin samuhatejo Yate rupam kalyanatamam tate pashyami yosavasau purushasomasmi. Is it different in the book?
No.
Okay. Vayuranilam amritam atedam basmantam shariram om kratosmara kritam smara. Last one. Agne naya supataryasman vishvani deva vayunani vidvan yuyodyasmashuharanameno bhuyishtam te nama uktim videma. Shri Ishapanishad sampurnam hari ee om. A little more stutter. Everyone's together. Hari Om. Okay, translations. There's not a view where you can do just translations.
Is there a way for you mind how do all the translations?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you go up,
I got it.
No, this is okay.
Just press Veda Bhisaya and then go to Bhagavad
Gita. No, if I click on the book, it comes up. Yes, please, Shiva.
Settings go.
Yeah.
There we are.
Should I make it bigger?
If you can without chopping it. Chopped.
Is it chopped?
It's chopped. It was, we were better off with palm leaves. Okay, start with the invocation. Are you all ready? Say yes. Okay, here we go. The personality of Godhead is perfect and complete. And because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which is Poseidon's his quota, and one should not accept
other things knowing well.
What does animate and inanimate mean? You should look it up, yeah. And go ahead, Revati. What? Moving and not moving? Does everyone agree with that? Which has a soul and which does not? Any other theories? Sridhar went to go to his dictionary. Yes. Non-living and living?
Or which is which?
You
animate,
say.
Animate is moving.
Yeah. And inanimate is not moving? Okay, let's hear. Let's hear from that teeny little dictionary. Go ahead.
Still finding it.
Give it to him, it's fine. Let him look for it.
That one's in Hindi.
Oh.
It tells like the Hindi definition. Hindi version.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, you found it? Let's hear what we got.
Animate means bring life or energy to, make drawings into an animated form.
No, it's bring life, that's the first. That's
bring
the first.
Life to.
Yeah, bring life or energy to.
Okay.
Make drawings into an animated form. Or living.
Yeah.
Living.
Living.
And where does it come from? What's the etymology? We'll get a phone or something. Who's got the Webster's Dictionary? Here.
What's the dictionary that's
had? My phone's plugged in the room. Can you get it off the... It's right on the heater. It's the white phone. We'd like to know where the word animate comes from. Wouldn't we, Sachi? Yeah. So what does it mean so far?
Living.
Living.
Or giving energy.
Or giving energy. Yeah. Or an animated film. Anime. Animate.
Animate.
Animate. Everyone say.
Animate.
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 Possessing or characterized by life. Alive. Full of life. Animated. Of or relating to animal life as opposed to plant life. Could be that too. Referring to a living thing or an animate noun. An origin. Middle English from Latin, animatus, past participle of animare, to give life to, from anima, breath. Now you know where it comes from. Soul, breath or soul, akin to Old English, otion, to breathe. Latin, animus, spirit. Greek, animos, wind. Sanskrit, aniti, he breathes. Sanskrit. First known use, 14th century. Synonyms, active, airy, animated, bouncing, brisk, energetic, frisky, jaunty, jazzy, kinetic, lively.
Then it should say antonyms.
What's antonyms? Antonyms, dead, inactive, inanimate. Lackadaisical. So, Mantra 1 says, everything animate or inanimate that's within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. So which kind of things are controlled by the Lord?
Animate or...
things controlled by the Lord. Animate
or inanimate. So what things are animate?
Human living things.
Are you animate?
Yes.
You are you controlled and owned by the Lord?
Yes.
Are you animate?
Yes.
Are you controlled and owned by the Lord?
Yes.
In what way are you controlled and owned by the Lord? Who can say if you're controlled by the Lord, how are you controlled? Yes?
You're controlled in every single way.
In every single way? Well, name one. Be more specific.
Actions.
And which kind of actions?
Physical or mental.
Well, name one physical or mental action that you're controlled by.
Picking
something up, okay. You driving, yes. But let's say, like, how is it that a function of picking something up or driving is being controlled by the Lord? That's what I'm interested in.
It's up to him whether he wants you to do that or not.
So whether you can do it or not.
He's our puppeteer.
Because he's your puppeteer, and we're puppets.
He destines the future.
Can anybody give a verse to prove that from the Bhagavad Gita? We need proof. Proof means Sanskrit. You got to give the verse from the Bhagavad Gita that says something about that. You got a Gita?
Yes.
Let me just ask a question. If you were to find a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, if you didn't know the whole Bhagavad Gita, know where everything is, what would you do? What?
You can go to the back.
Yeah, and you could go get a Gita first, though, right? That's the first thing. You got to have a Gita to look stuff up. So there may be verses in the Bhagavad Gita that talk about how we're controlled by the material energy. Can you think of one like that?
Wanting chocolate so badly.
You want chocolate so badly? That's being controlled by the material energy.
That's
give it to Revati. She.
From my brother.
Okay, look it up. We had a suggestion over here. From Divyanam has a suggestion. How about Prakrite Kriyamanani? Do you know how to find that verse? Are you looking in the verse index? Or the index index? Do you have another Gita? Why don't you go get it?
This table has two Gitas.
Prakrite. Look up, find Prakrite. Got it? That was fast. But the more you look stuff up, faster you get. Okay, Sridham's just coming back. What verse number is it? 327, look up 327. Okay, go ahead and read it. Krataham. Translation.
The spirit built itself with
bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature.
Does that prove our point?
Yes.
Not exactly. Because it says, kind of, so connect the dots.
Yes.
You need to go one step back and prove that. So that says that three modes of material nature is controlling living energy. Now you got to prove through the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is controlling the three modes of material nature, and then you've got a winner.
There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, but I forgot where it's called.
There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, but you forgot where it is.
Yes. There's a verse that says that you control.
Hold on. What? Prove that Krishna controls the three modes of material nature. If you can't find it, you're going to have to call a friend. How about the seventh chapter? Is that what you're thinking?
What's the verse?
Seventh chapter?
Yes.
Which verse?
Remember
we did that thing in Sangha in chapter 8 and 7. Yeah.
That thing.
Okay, you're
going to
have to look up it in the index then.
We're looking at the verses.
7:14. How did you find that one?
It says right there.
Because Vrindarika Ramayana helps you. Okay, go ahead. Go to 7:14. It's okay to take help from sadhus. Sadhu Shastra. Okay, listen, 7:14. 7:14. What is it? Somebody else read the English. You want to read the English?
Me.
She'll do it. No, she'll do it. What's your name? Huh?
Nandini.
That's a nice name. Thank you, Nandini.
The divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross the mountain.
What is your name? Huh?
Vedant,
that's a good name for this kind of exercise. So Vedant, does this prove our case? Mm. We're trying to prove that everything animate and animus within the universe is controlled by and owned by the Lord.
If everybody could speak up when they talk because other kids are watching.
Okay.
And they want to hear what you have to say. We usually would have a microphone that we pass around.
Okay.
Next time. Yes. It's always good to amplify stuff when you can. What was our case we were trying to make? Recreate the case for us, and then let's see if we made it.
We're trying to find out.
I'm going to repeat because nobody can hear you on the broadcast. We're trying to find out what.
If Krishna controls us in every way.
Okay. First thing was you said you're animate, and then you said you're controlled by Krishna. I said in what way, and then you read the verse. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara ityam me bina prakriti rashta, which means that the person who is bewildered thinks he's doing everything, but actually it's being carried out by the modes of nature. So far, so good?
Yes. Yeah.
Concur? Do you concur? Where's your book with the little with all the words in it? You better get it. No, your book, you're writing words in it. Go get your book. Pen? Get a piece of paper and a pen. You got to write these words down. What does concur mean?
Concur means to agree with someone.
Very good. Okay, so do you concur that this is what was the first verse that we said? And that it shows that actually the modes are controlling what we do, and that a foolish person thinks that I'm doing everything. Do you concur? Saji, do you concur? Okay, she concurs. Do you concur? 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 Do you concur?
She does.
Concur? Okay.
You need to get a book underneath
Then, what do we prove next? What is this first proof?
Seven fourteen proves that he's the controller of three modes of material nature.
And that Krishna is the controller of three modes of material nature. And Krishna says it's difficult to overcome, but you can surrender unto him. That's a little extra information that helps, is very helpful. So we may have proved our case. If you were the judge in the court and we brought this case before you, that Revati is an animate, she's animate. You agree with that so far, Judge?
Yeah.
And then we tried to prove that her activities, her animation is controlled by the Lord. Did we prove it?
Yeah.
And how did we prove it? Can you give us the trail that we used? Yeah, what was the trail of proof? Just summarize the verses. What were the basic ideas, how we got there to prove it?
So, went to the index and checked what pages on the Bhagavad Gita, and then on the verses, it was talking about, when you surrender unto me, the modes of material nature.
First verse, though, said
that you are controlled by the three modes of
nature. We're controlled by the three modes of nature. But we had to then prove that the three modes of material nature were controlled by Krishna.
Yeah, and then Krishna says that if you surrender unto me, you won't be affected by the three modes of material nature.
And that they're working under my control, right? That's a key point of evidence, isn't it? Did we make the case? Okay, let's move on then. We'll do a couple more verses. You ready? Ready? Okay, here we go. You ready, Sachi? Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continuously goes on working in that way. For that sort of work will not bind him to law of karma. There is no alternative to this way for man. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. Although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him. Although in one place, he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. He who systematically sees everything in the relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Such a person must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. Those who engage
Those who are engaged in the worship of the demigods.
Can't see it.
Is that the right verse, number 12?
Those who engage
in the culture of nascent activities shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. More still, those engaged in the culture of
so-called knowledge.
The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nations. We'll read them one at a time now. You do. Next one.
Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality.
Okay, hold on one second. Nescience. He put nationals. Ha ha ha.
Nescience.
Nescience.
Nations. Lack of knowledge or awareness.
Should I write it?
Of course. You should write everything. You'll be catching all these things. I don't know why you left your book somewhere.
What about omniscient?
What?
Does not know that word.
Omniscient. That means this dictionary is nescient. Nescience, lack of knowledge or awareness. The very dictionary itself is nescient. Okay, so then, example, the appalling nescience of today's high schoolers concerning international affairs. Origin, where do you think it comes from?
Latin.
Yeah, good. It comes from late Latin, nescientia. From Latin, nescient, nescience, present, participle of nescere, not to know, from ne, not, plus scere, to know. More at no science. What does nescience mean?
Lack of knowledge.
That is correct, sir. That is 10 points for you. In 10 points in your column for knowing that. Nescience. You're not nescient.
What does
omniscient? That's a good question. In what language do you think it comes from?
Latin.
Omniscient.
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 Having infinite awareness.
Having infinite awareness.
Understanding.
Understanding.
And insight.
And insight.
So examples I give here. An omniscient author. Which author do you know that's omniscient?
No one.
How about Vyasadeva?
Krishna,
yes. Ah. Eh? Okay. Yeah. Okay, the narrator seems an omniscient person who can tell us about the characters and their relationships.
If you put it like that, then they are.
Having unlimited
potency. There's an echo in here. All right, listen. Origin. New Latin, omniscient, omniscience, back information. From medieval Latin, omniscientia. It's very much related.
It comes from Sanskrit, so its origin will be from Sanskrit.
Well, it's hard to trace back with this little teeny dictionary. We need to have an OED. You know what that is?
Yeah.
What's the OED?
Yesterday.
OED is the Oxford English Dictionary. It's the biggest dictionary in the world. If we put it in this room, it would fill up this whole wall. And in every definition, it tells you the history of where it comes from. It takes it all the way back. Would you like to have one of those? An OED?
But isn't everything, like every language, comes from Sanskrit?
Well, okay, she's saying yes.
That's what I was told. That's what I was told.
Sure. We'll leave it at that for now. There's a lot of history of language and a lot of debate about that in the scientific world, but you'd have to be able to prove it. Okay, so omniscient. Where are we now?
The wise have explained that.
What number?
Number 10.
Okay, who's
no,
up?
Number 11, Mara. Sorry, only we were reading.
Who's reading now? Your turn. Go ahead.
Those who engage in kind acts.
11.
No, we're on 10. 12. We stopped on omniscience.
Okay, 12.
Those who are engaged in worship of demigods enter into the darkest region of ignorance, and still more so to the worshippers of the impersonal absolute.
Your turn.
It is said that one result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and that another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme. All this is heard from the undisturbed authorities.
Altogether, mantra 14. One should know perfectly the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and his transcendental name, form, qualities, and pastimes, as well as this temporary material creation with its temporary demigods, men, and animals. When one knows these, he surpasses death and the ephemeral cosmic manifestation with it, and in the eternal kingdom of God, he enjoys his eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Isn't anybody going to ask? Yes.
Wait. Go to 13.
Back to 13.
Yes. What does that mean?
There you go.
The result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes.
And?
What does it mean?
And then another result is obtained by worshipping which is not supreme. What do you think it means?
I don't know.
Just give a guess.
Doesn't make sense.
Does anybody have any ideas? One result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping what is not supreme. So what are two things being described? Vedant?
So there's two solutions to what's happened. If you worship the supreme, one thing will happen. If you worship the people who are not supreme, like example demigods, you'll get another cause.
Okay, that's good. You added in some. You almost repeated, paraphrased what it said, but then you added in a little detail about the demigods, right?
So like when you worship Krishna, only one cause will happen. But if you worship demigods.
Well, not just demigods, anything that's not supreme. Well, let's give an example that's there in the Bhagavatam. It's like if you're watering a plant. Is there the same result if you water the leaves or if you water the root? What is your opinion? Just watering the leaves independently, not that it drips down and goes into the root later. Don't make it complicated.
Nothing will happen.
If you water a plant and you only water the leaves, will it survive? If you don't water the root?
If you have to water the root, otherwise it won't grow. And it won't survive.
Okay, so then is there, let's like say, one result is obtained by worshipping the root of the tree and another result is obtained by worshipping the leaves of the tree.
The leaves will make no difference.
Means it won't help. It won't help, right? So the same thing, or a similar idea. By worshipping Krishna, you get one result. By worshipping those things that are not Krishna, of course, those things where you're not directing your energy to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or you don't recognize Him, then you're going to get a different result. You had a point.
Yeah, I was going to say that when you water the leaves,
yes.
It will stay the same.
Yes.
When you water the root, it will grow as soon as it reaches.
Okay, that's good. That means that there's a difference in different things that you do. When you direct your energy and your worship to Krishna, who's the root of everything, then you get one result if you direct it elsewhere. Let's see the purport. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The system of hearing from undisturbed authorities is approved in this mantra. Unless one hears from a bona fide acharya who is never disturbed by the changes of the material world, one cannot have the real key to transcendental knowledge. The bona fide spiritual master who has, is this the right verse? Who has also heard the Shruti mantras or Vedic knowledge from his undisturbed acharya never presents anything that is not mentioned in the Vedic literature. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that those who worship the Pitris, or forefathers, attain the planets of the forefathers, that the gross materialists who make plans to remain here stay in this world, and that the devotees of the Lord who worship none but Lord Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes, reach him in the spiritual sky. There's one example given in the Bhagavad Gita. The verse is, Yanti deva vrta devan, pitrin yanti pratir vrta. Bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti mam yajinopimam. So this means, like, if you want to go to the demigods, you can worship the demigods and then you go there. If you worship lower beings, you'll end up with them. If you worship Krishna, you'll go back to Krishna. So there's a difference, right? You see what the verse is getting at?
Yes.
Here's a mantra for you. Where attention goes, repeat after me. Where attention goes?
Where attention goes.
Energy flows.
Energy flows.
How do you like it? Say it again.
Where attention goes, energy flows.
Where attention goes, energy flows.
Wherever attention goes,
energy flows.
What does it mean?
Where attention goes, energy flows.
Give the meaning. Give him a chance.
So if you worship lower beings, then you go to them. If you worship the higher beings, then you go to them. If you worship Krishna, then you go to him.
Brilliant. Now, what about this generic mantra I'm talking about? Where attention goes, energy flows. 1, 2, go ahead.
Okay, focused on something. For example, maths, and you're stuck on a question.
Yeah.
And if you're like really focused on it and you get the thing, you'll understand the question. That's where your energy goes. So your attention is the focus on it, and your energy is that you understand it.
Pretty good. Yes.
But if you're focused on how stuck you are, then sometimes that energy would just be focusing on how
on being stuck.
You'd just be stunned by the whole situation.
It's an interesting idea, though, because we have attention, because we're conscious beings, and we have a choice of where to place our attention at any time, right? Like everyone is sitting here right now. Now, put your attention on your right foot. Can you feel your right foot?
Yes.
Did you feel it a minute ago?
Yes.
Were you aware that you were feeling your right foot a minute ago?
No.
But you are now, right? Can you feel your right foot? Were you thinking about your right foot a minute ago? You were?
Yes.
Okay, now put your attention on your left ear. Can you feel your left ear?
Yes.
Yeah, were you thinking about it 10 seconds ago?
No.
Say no.
No.
Good. Right answer. So you can choose to place your attention anywhere. You can transfer it around. And when you transfer your attention there, your energy is going to go there too. So the main thing that we have is our attention. We can choose to put our attention anywhere, right? Do you agree? That's a kind of freedom that we have, freedom of choice, where to place your attention. So one way to talk about Krishna consciousness is that we're choosing to place our attention on Krishna. It's like, how many of you here chant japa every day? So when you're chanting japa, have you ever had the experience that you forgot you were chanting? Even while you're chanting, could you forget that you're chanting? Sachi? What happens when, what's the phenomena that you're chanting but you forget you're chanting? What happens? So, like, say you're chanting, right? But you're thinking about what else? Something else?
Yeah.
Like, what else were you thinking of?
If you're thinking, so, let's say your mother's making prasadam and you're thinking about that.
So you think about the prasadam, right? Mm-hmm. But you're chanting, so your mind's really not on the chanting, is it? So are you aware that you're chanting? So you actually have to have your attention on something in order to perceive it. And so yoga means, Krishna says, you know, fix your mind on me, right? Can you prove it? Go ahead, Revati. She's fired up. She's ready to go to that book. Can you prove that yoga means to think of Krishna?
It's on Bhakti Yoga.
What's that?
It's on the verses with Bhakti Yoga.
Where? Which part of the Bhagavad Gita?
Chapter.
For full credit, you got to give me some specifics. Beg, borrow, steal, but get a Bhagavad Gita. You got to go?
Yes, Raj, because all the parents will be waiting at this spot.
Oh, I didn't know that. Are we late? Are you coming with us? How about Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto? Just because we're late, I'll tell you where it is. There's two of them. You got two choices, two chapters. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto is in the 9th chapter and the 18th chapter. And whoever finds it first gets 11 points.
Whoever finds it first.
11 points is a lot. You should always have a book. Here, I'll loan you mine.
We found it.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Who found it?
934.
Okay, go ahead and read it out loud, just the English. Very good. Which verse did you find over here? Same one? Same chapter?
Yes.
It's in two places. Did you know it's in two places? He says it twice, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Does that mean it's important?
Yes.
Say yes.
He sees in chapter two.
Absolutely, yes. All right, now, here's the next thing. We're going to go on book distribution.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
Okay. The prime objective for going out is that we're going to please Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
And the other thing is, we just leave everyone with a good impression, whoever we meet. And whatever Lord Chaitanya arranges, we'll accept it, okay? Does that sound like a good plan?
Yes.
Everyone ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Marman, Natariyar Marman. Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, hey! Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman, Natariyar Marman.